This is the word of the Lord. Now concerning the times and the seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you. For you yourself are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor's pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. So then, let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with Him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for your word that always challenges us to put ourselves under your perspective, to see the world under your lens, under the lens of Scripture. Help us to put your lenses, Lord. Help us to live under your agenda, not ours. Father, help us to see what Paul is trying to tell us this morning in this chapter. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. I forgot to do something very important, which is to set up my timer. Okay, here we go. Okay, so what do we have here? So let's do I have been preaching throughout this year from 1 Thessalonians, okay? And last time I preached from 1 Thessalonians was in chapter 4. The last verses of chapter 4, which basically, I don't know if you remember, if you were here, we were talking about there was this sense of hopelessness in this church in Thessalonica. Hopelessness about what? They were concerned about those who had already departed, those who had died, okay? They maybe had some friends who already passed away. They had maybe family members who passed away, and they were concerned about what happens to them. Are they going to miss out on the day of the Lord? So they were thinking, some of them, even Christians, that death was the end. They're going to miss out the day of the Lord. Poor them, right? So we're hopeless. So Paul, help us here. And so Paul reminds them again in chapter 4 that the dead, those who have died in the Lord, they will actually precede them, precede those who are alive. And so Paul uses this image of, when the Lord comes, when the Lord Jesus comes, you know, there will be this delegation. And he uses this military royal language in which Paul says there will be a delegation of believers receiving Jesus as he comes down from heaven in his return. And the dead will go there first to receive, as a delegation, to receive the Lord Jesus as he comes. And then we will go with them. We will join those who departed already, join this delegation, and meet up with Jesus and the clouds as he comes down. You see, so don't be worrying about those who die in Christ. You should be worrying now more about you. And that's what brings us to chapter 5. Okay, so they were hopeless, but now in chapter 4, they were hopeless because, okay, what happened to the dead? They are united with Christ, even in death. Chapter 26 of the Westminster Confession of Faith, I talked about that last Wednesday, talks about our union with Christ, not just in this life, but also in our death. We're united with Jesus Christ, even in the grave. Praise God for that. Do you guys remember the movie Gone with the Wind? It's a classic. Gone with the Wind. It's a story about the South, the Civil War. And some of the first English words that I learned was from that movie, Gone with the Wind. I'm serious. I love to watch the movie. I was watching it in Peru. They were showing it all the times, you know. And I was captivated by that actress. I can't remember her name, but man, she was beautiful, right? But it was one of the main actresses there. But one of the saddest moments of that movie was when the daughter of one of the main guys died, right? She was riding a horse, a pony, and she fell and broke her neck and died. And the dad wouldn't let her go. He locked himself with the dead body of his daughter in a room for days because he knew that she was scared of the dark. Okay? And so she wouldn't let anybody take her baby from him to bury her in a hole full of darkness. And he was holding tight to her baby. But believers, I have great news for you. If you are in Christ Jesus, you should not be afraid of darkness, even of the deepest darkness of the grave. Because God is with you. Jesus is with you even there. So take heart. Take heart. But now Paul moves the theme to another problem. Chapter 5 tells us that there is this thing in the air that is floating around, this sense of cluelessness. In chapter 4 was hopelessness, but now in chapter 5 is cluelessness, lack of information, or being forgetful. The older I get, the more forgetful I get. And that's part of life, right? And so praise God for wives that reminds us about things. You know, many times I forget about my children's appointments to practices, soccer games, volleyball games, dentist appointments. And it's hard, right? And so thanks be to God for my wife who reminds me. And for technology, right? You have a calendar. Hey, you know, there's something coming up. There's an event coming up. You have to preach in 5 days. No, I already knew I was going to preach like 2 months ago. So that's not a problem. But there is this sense of forgetfulness. And guess what? That the church in Thessalonica are also forgetful. So let's remember something. Paul is acting here not just as a pastor, but we saw also in the previous chapters, he's like a mother, right? He loves them as a mother loves her own children. And Paul uses this image of love, of patience. As a mom, I'm going to keep teaching you with patience and with perseverance and with gentleness about what you already have. And we forget, as a people of God, what we already have with us. You have with you the Word of God, the promises of God in your hands. But we forget, especially when bad seasons come. We grow weary and we get confused, right? And so the dominant idea of this sermon is this, is that since we already have the teachings and promises of Christ, therefore, number one, we must not live in fear. And number two, we must live in spiritual alertness. So this is a two-point sermon that flow from the dominant idea, which is you already have the Word of God. And Paul is reminding the same thing to the Thessalonica church. Let's see. Verse 1 of chapter 5. Now concerning the times and the seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you, for you yourself are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. So you already have. They already have the promises of Christ, right? Christ himself, if you look in your Bibles, you don't have to turn, but if you want to turn, that's fine. In Matthew 24, verses 34, 36, and 46 of Matthew 24, says Jesus himself says this, but concerning the days and the hour, no one knows. You see, now the Thessalonica church is like, man, we have to get ready for the day of the Lord. So let's get things ready. The apocalypse is coming. Pack up all your foods. You know, get your belongings, you know, get all your things in right. Get weapons just in case you have to fight the devil or some zombies somewhere. Get ready, because the day is coming. And so they are afraid. And they're forgetting even Jesus' talks here, promises. Matthew 24 says, but concerning that day and hour, no one knows, for not even the angels of heaven nor the Son, for the Father only. As were the days of Noah, so will the coming of the Son of Man. Therefore, you also must be ready. But the question is, what does that mean to be ready in biblical terms? Not in worldly, secular terms. But what it means to be ready in a biblical sense, right? So we have to think about that. For the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Who then is the faithful and wise servant? I'm going to skip to verse 45. Whom his master has set over his household to give them their food and proper time. Blessed is that servant whom his master will find doing when he comes. So the faithful servant will be doing something, right? So keep that in mind. The day of the Lord is coming, but Paul is reminding him, okay, don't be scared, don't be anxious, don't be in this sense of excessive urgency. But stop and breathe. Because you already have the promises of Christ that he's coming like a thief. So don't be too worried about when. Just remember that he's coming. And you have to be ready. And the question is, what it means to be ready, right? And so we have the promises of Jesus, right? And then we see in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, that says this. Hebrews 1, verses 1 and 2. Long ago, at many times, this is long ago. I'm talking about the writer of Hebrews saying already, long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. So even in the people in the Bible, from long ago, they already had these promises of the prophets, of God through the prophets, telling them that the day of the Lord is coming, right? And so the question is, are you ready or not? Are you forgetful or not? So people in Thessalonica, Paul is telling them, don't be afraid. So since we have already these promises in the Old Testament, and now through Jesus in the New Testament and from the apostles, now you have everything you need to know. That's why Paul is telling them, I don't need to add anything else. Because of all this, of this knowledge that you already have, therefore you must not fear. Okay? And the question is, how do I stop fearing when I hear things in social media, when I see things happening in the church in America, when I see all these riots happening and all this disruptiveness happening in my country, and then you see wars going on in the world, Israel and Palestine and persecution, the day of the Lord is near. Yes, it has been near ever since he ascended back to the Father. You see that you pay attention to what the author of Hebrews was saying. I just read that, you know. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. So now we are in the last days. And Paul is telling us, don't be extremely preoccupied with this when question. But now you need to be really preoccupied and concerned about how the master of the house will find you. What are you going to be doing when he comes? And so, you know, don't be afraid. We must live with no fear. That's my main first point of this sermon. Okay? And so the question is why we should not fear. Okay? Besides knowing that we have everything that God has given us. But what does God tell us? All these things that we have been given, I know we were given words from God, promises, but what promises? What indicatives I have received as a member of the Church of Christ? Number one, sub-point under the main, under point number one, that we must not live in fear, is that we must remember our identity. All right? So who are you? Let's see what Paul says here. In verse 3. While people are saying there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labors come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. Verse 4, this is key, okay? This verse is very important. But you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. So don't be afraid. For you are all children of light. You are a child of the Lord. Let's keep remembering that. You are a child of God. Which means you are children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. Man, wow. You know why it means, you know why now it makes more sense? We shall not be afraid. Not just because the pastor says that. It's because you have an identity in Christ Jesus. You are a child of God. Chapter 1 of John, verses 12 and 13 tells us that. You are children of God. You have been adopted by God the Father. You were once his enemy. But now you are adopted by God through Jesus Christ. I shall not fear, because the day of the Lord is coming. And you know, this theme of the day of the Lord is a big theme in the Bible. You know, in the Old Testament, the day of the Lord, you know, every day of the year is the day of the Lord. Okay, let's make that clear. But there is this specific day. In a peculiar sense, it's a day of reckoning, a day in which the Lord will do justice. Okay? But now we move on to the New Testament. The day of the Lord is the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's read 1 Corinthians 1, verses 7 and 8, that says this: so that you are not lacking in any gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are waiting on the day of the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the day of the Lord is basically the day of the Lord Jesus. And he uses the image of a thief. You know, a smart thief will not call you 2 hours before, "Hey man, I'm going to break into your house." You know, that would be, I have never seen or heard of a thief who would say something like that, right? So a thief comes, and when a thief comes, you know, he doesn't bring you flowers. He brings you destruction. The surprise factor, right? You know, the Navy SEALs, when they do their operations that nobody knows, they use always a surprise factor. That moment that you think that the less that they will come, they will show up. Okay? So a thief, we have the image of destruction. Sudden destruction. Not just destruction, but sudden destruction. But then we're reminded that the day of the Lord, what happens to those who are children of light? Verse 4, you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like the thief, for you are all children of light, children of the light. We are not of the night or of the darkness. So if you're a child of God in Christ Jesus, you shall not fear the thief. Because the thief here in this image will bring relief to you. Not destruction. Because the destruction that me and you deserved was paid in full on the cross of Jesus Christ. That destruction has already been paid by Jesus. So why do you fear? Why do you lose hope when you see opposition? You know, when pastors face opposition, I am the number one person who shall not be afraid. Because if Jesus suffered opposition, why not me? If Jesus was betrayed, why not me? But at the same time, I am resting in the providence and care of Christ. That there is no destruction for us, children of Christ. So, remembering our identity, number two, under the main point. So the first sub-point of number one, the first point, is that we are remembering our identity in Christ. And number two is remembering the teachings of Jesus. I already mentioned that, right? So we must not fear because we are children of God. And also we must not fear because we have the promises of Jesus himself. Let's read briefly before we move on to my final point. Let's read together Malachi chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. It says this, "For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, when all the arrogant and all evildoers will be stubble. The day that is coming shall send them ablaze, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. For that you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. You shall go out leaping like calves from the stall. Your stall tread down the wicked, for they will be ashes under the soles of your feet. On that day when I act, says the Lord of hosts. Remember the law of my servant Moses, the statutes and rules that I commanded him at Horeb. For all Israel, verse 5, behold, I will send you Elijah, the prophet, before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes." So, we have this promise in the last book, in these final chapters of the Old Testament, that the day of the Lord is coming, but you shall not worry because you're in Christ Jesus, but this day is also a day in which the Lord will punish the evildoers. And so if you are waiting for justice, maybe you have been waiting for justice for so many years now. You know, the judicial system in third world countries is terrible. There have been many people who have been incarcerated in prison unjustly because they were accused of committing crimes that they never did. You see, terrorism in Peru back in the 80s and 90s, I don't know if you have read that, but in the 80s and 90s, Peru was dominated by this terrorist group called the Shining Path. And the Shining Path was destructive, okay? And so the military and the police had to intervene, you know, in a very strong way to eliminate these terrorists. But as they did that, along the way, they're going to be people hurt, innocent people hurting too. And, you know, many of them were wrongly accused. Many of them were Christians who were wrongly accused of being terrorists. And they were judged, okay, and they were put in prison. And, many of them die in prison. And many of us, maybe in here in the U.S., are waiting for justice for different situations. Or maybe you're waiting for the Lord to act in a specific way in your life or in the life of your family. And sometimes we grow weary. We get tired. But then remember, even when you see the evildoers doing their thing in this country, in other parts of the world, remember that there will be an end for that. Because the Lord Jesus is coming. So, with that knowledge, why we shall not fear. Paul is reminding them the same thing to the Thessalonica church. You are in Christ Jesus. You are a child of the light. Now, that moves me to my second and final point, which is we must live in a spiritual alertness. Knowing all this, that I am a child of God, therefore I shall not fear, that I have the promises of Jesus himself. So now what? How do I live my present? I'm going to read you briefly this, this checklist from somebody who is trying to prepare for the apocalypse. All right? And some of these checklists are pretty wise things. I mean, you also have to prevent for the worst sometimes, right? I mean, remember Joseph in the Bible, in Genesis, right? Didn't he was getting ready for the worst, the famine coming? So what did he do? For 7 years, he, you know, was saving all the grains that he could because a big famine is coming. So let's get ready. Plan ahead. So planning ahead is not a sinful thing. There are some people who are better planners than others, right? That's great. But here's the problem, is that church in Thessalonica here, they are consumed by this. They were alert, but in the wrong way. To the point that many of them in this context, were they were quitting their jobs. They were trying to be spiritual. We're going to alienate ourselves from the world. Let's just get together, gather our things, let's hold hands, and let's wait because the Lord is coming. Sounds interesting, right? It's kind of like a preservation mode. You know, preservation mode. You do whatever it takes to preserve your life. But here's the problem, is that is God calling us to do that? Is God calling you to be a preppy, meaning to be always concerned about the future in an unhealthy ways? So let me read this checklist that says this. Create a water supply. This is for the day of the apocalypse. You know, this guy is giving me tips how to get ready. Create a water supply, okay? Prepare a medium-term food supply, okay? Stockpile a long-term food supply, all right? Collect first aid supplies and practice skills. Huh, okay. What else? Prep survival equipment, okay? So the day of the Lord is coming, so should I prepare survival equipment? Okay, I'm just thinking myself. I'm not trying to be sarcastic here. I'm just trying to reason myself here. You know, how do I prepare for this? And finally, it says this, read survival books. Read survival books. It's interesting, right? Let me tell you again, there's nothing wrong with planning ahead, okay? Joseph in the Bible planned ahead. The problem is when we take our whole focus from the promises of Jesus and we live like the world. That is the problem. We are forgetful, we're clueless, and we get distracted easily because of what the world is telling you. Is that us today? So we must live in a spiritual alertness. So what does that mean? Three things. It means these three things. Number one is repent. by waking up from our worldliness, repenting, you know, from our worldliness, basically, okay? So, man, this is, you know, so being alert. So let's read together verse 6. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. Oh, man. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. Okay, so we must be alert. Okay, so that's the main point, the second point of my sermon. We must live in a spiritual alertness. So how do we live in a spiritual alertness? Number one is by repenting. Let's read together Philippians 1:10. Philippians 1:10 tells us this: so that you may be approved what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless. Be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. If you're beating your wife up, stop. I'm serious. I'm very serious. Wife, if you're insulting your husband with harsh words, stop. If you're talking behind people in the church, you have to stop that. If you're creating dissension in the church, you have to stop that in the name of Jesus. It's not funny. Are you alert? Are you repenting from your sins? We always point to the sins of the world, right? Yes, we have to address the sins of the world by all means. We have to address the sins of the country by all means. But we must start with ourselves. Are you grumpy all the time? Why is that? Oh, because who's in the White House? Well, okay, but is whoever is in the White House, is that the main dominant factor that makes you moody? Meaning that to the point that you lose the joy of your salvation. We're Christians. We have a Lord and Savior. His name is Jesus Christ. And He calls us to stay awake. Number one, repent. Number two, what does it mean to be alert too? Let's keep reading. Verse 8, but since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith, love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. Faith, love, hope, and salvation. Okay, so showing self-control. Okay, showing self-control. That's the second point under we must live in a spiritual alertness. So being alert means to repent, have holy lives, following the Lord. He's just and faithful to forgive, 1 John chapter 1. But also being self-control, meaning you have to control yourself. How do I control myself? From always seeking my own benefit. Love others. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and your neighbor as yourself. We cannot be the center of life. We cannot be the center of our own lives. Love one another. Paul is telling you, how are you alert? By not being busybodies, by not really getting things ready for the second coming, because you have everything you need. Okay, you're ready. You don't have to prepare anymore because you are children of God. You see, what Paul is doing in these first 11 verses is that he's throwing us this, he's building this, this imperative that he's telling us here from verses 6 through 11 have been built under the indicatives of being the children of God, the children of light, of having the promises of Jesus already with us. Because of these indicatives, this base, this foundation of who we are in Christ Jesus, therefore, don't fear the day of the Lord, because he will not bring ruin to you. This thief will not bring ruin to you, but also, you have work to do. You have to continually repent, Come to the Lord for cleansing. He's just and faithful to forgive because you're in Christ Jesus. He's your Father. And number two, self-control. You know, he has this contrast between being drunk and not being drunk, being sober. You know, I don't know if you know what ether is. Ether is basically this chemical, I guess you want to say. It's a substance to calm pain. You know, it's like an anesthesia, basically, right? I am very familiar with that. It's like a cold spray. Do you spray in, you know, something? Maybe you have a bruise or something. I am very familiar with that. Why? Because I was a soccer player once. I played in college, and every time I got, you know, kicked, I fell on the floor. You know, don't worry, I wasn't, you know, rolling around, screaming, shouting like that. But I was in pain. It was legit. It was painful. So one of our doctors there would come, and the first thing he would do. Spray, this cold spray, who had ether in it. So this type of anesthesia was created in 1846, I believe. And so 2 years ago was the 175th celebration of it. It was a great discovery in medicine, you know, because this cold spray, ether, will give you some sort of relief. It will numb your injury. It will not heal it, but it will bring this state of numbness. Being numb, okay? And so when you get drunk, there will be this state of numbness. And Paul is telling you here, do not be in such a state. Be sober. Show love, faith, and hope. And being alert, finally, also here means executing our main calling. And what is that? We have the Great Commission, Matthew 28. Verse 9, for God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. You're already saved. That's the whole purpose of, you know, what do we follow Jesus? To be holy, to be made like Christ, but also to be saved. We're safe in Christ, who died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up just as you are doing. Don't be busybodies. Don't be concerned too much about the day of the Lord, because the day of the Lord is going to be a day of gladness for you, a day of rest, as I read in Malachi chapter 4, a day of rejoice. You will see those family members who die in Christ again, forever. And so, executing our main calling, which is what? To love God, to glorify God, and to enjoy him forever. To go to all the nations, preaching the gospel, what we have learned from Jesus, serving one another. That's what it means to be alert, in a spiritual alertness. And teaching one another. And this is the hardest part, right? The teaching one another. It's not about me, myself, and I. The day of the Lord is coming, brothers and sisters. So don't be afraid, because if you are in Christ Jesus, do not be afraid, but you have work to do. Repent from your sins. Walk in new obedience. Show self-control. Get away from this numbness that the world offers, that tells you you should be worried about this right now. Read books about survivals. That's what the world tells us. You can prevent for the future. Well, my future, according to Paul, is already secure in Christ Jesus. Because salvation is guaranteed who those who are in Christ Jesus. But also, the work I have in front of me is to keep serving one another. And Paul closes this in verse 11. Therefore, encourage one another. Are you encouraging one another or not? Or I'm just in survival mode, Pastor. Ever since 2020, I have been in survival mode. Oh, man. God, help us. Because you have a lot of work to do if you're a Christian. If you call yourself a Christian, you have a lot of work ahead of you. Because God is not done with this world yet. Are you praying for those who persecute you? Are you going out of your way to show the gospel to those who persecute you? Are you praying for those Christians in Palestine, in Israel? Are we? No, Pastor, I'm too worried about these survival things. Well, let's refocus now again. You're in Christ Jesus. You are children of light, not of darkness, not of fear. If you're struggling with anxieties, you know where to go. You have a heavenly Father who is not ashamed of calling you, "You are my child." Maybe your earthly father was ashamed of calling you my child, but no, your heavenly Father, because he's a good father. And you know his judgment is coming. But we must always remember that the ultimate judgment that we deserved was already paid in full at the cross of Jesus. You see now why you shouldn't be afraid? Man, help us, Lord, to get to work. Yes, to be the church of Christ. Yes, to preach, to be holy, and to please the God our Father, but also to get out of our comfort zone and love one another here in the church and love this broken world that is in darkness. You know, they think there's peace and security. You see, many times we think that the world is just all about wars. No, many people in the world actually want peace and security. But they want it their own way. You see? Many times we think that the world doesn't want to love people. No, they actually want to love people. Many of them. I know many non-Christian people who want to love the orphans, who want to love the sojourners, who want to love the widows and the, you know, our veterans, and they do programs for them. And so many times the world is not against loving people, but the problem is that they are loving the people not in a biblical sense, away from Christ, and that is a problem. When Christ is not the center, that is a big problem. So how do you show Christ to the world? Is it by reading survival books? By believing only conspiracy theories? Or by actually reading, starting with this book? As Paul says, since we already have the teachings and promises of Jesus, this is all you need. All you need. This is all you need to keep going in this world. You have the Holy Spirit within you, so you're not orphans anymore. You have the power of Christ to go out there and to preach salvation to this dark world. Let's pray.